grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of life, you reach out to us amid our fears with the wounded hands of your risen Son. By your Spirit's breath, revive our faith in your mercy and strengthen us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Acts. When they had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as the leader and Savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witness to these things. And so it is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 118 responsibly. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation.
Shout of rejoicing and salvation, ever in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter.
I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Hosanna, Lord, save us. We praise you, Lord. Prosper our days.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God and has given us light. Form a procession with branches up to the corners of the altar.
You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Revelation. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and domination forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I had a really good start for my sermon, and then yesterday a man walked into a synagogue in Poway and started shooting the people who had been gathered to celebrate the last day of Passover. I was going to talk about, in this first paragraph of my sermon, about the shootings last week, the bombings in Sri Lanka, because today, as those communities have been told, do not come to the mosque, do not come to the synagogue, do not come to the church, stay home, because we are afraid. We're afraid that there would be more violence. We're afraid that there would be a copycat. We're afraid to gather as believers together. Well, this morning, first thing on my Facebook page was a note from our bishop saying that to the people in Poway, the Lutheran church that's right next door to the synagogue, the streets are still blocked off. The roads are blocked off. So there will be no services in Poway. At the Catholic church that's next door to the synagogue on one side and to the Lutheran church that's on the other side, and of course the synagogue itself. There are no services because we're afraid. We are. The threats of violence that have our world caught, it seems like One of the bishops wrote a note, and she said she caught herself short because the terror of being shot. Her children come home from school, and they say they had an active shooter drill, you know, just like we used to have fire drills. And she said, and we take it so casually. And when she realized that only one person died in the shooting in Poway, it was like, oh, well, only one. What fear do we have that is now kind of numbing us. That it's like every day and every place around the world. Our news media is constantly broadcasting to us both the terrible images and the terrible speeches of blame and fear. Is the world really less safe or more threatening than it was a few weeks ago or a few years ago? Whether it is or isn't really isn't the point. The point is that fear is powerful. Fear has a lot of power. We want to put blame on something or someone. Maybe it's we blame the access to guns or lack of access for mental health workers. We blame access to social media or the lack of access to respect for those who are different from us. Now I'm going to go back to my sermon that I had prepared a few days before this was brought back home so tightly for us. But the idea that fear is powerful is the title of the sermon. Now, our ancient ancestors, ancient ancestors survived real threats of life and limb on well-developed instincts of fight or flight. And we do much the same when we, even though fears are more remote and less present, there is not a tiger crouching behind me, but still people are threatened or tempted to flee from the threatening world. We huddle close for protection. We circle the wagons and listen for more bad and scary news. We create social circles where we can safely huddle with those who are like-minded, and we toss contempt at those who think or act or dress in ways that are different from us. And we end up seeing diversity as a threat rather than as a gift. And fear paralyzes us. Our scripture story today tells us that the disciples were afraid. They were paralyzed. Jesus was dead, and yet there were these women with their story of an empty tomb. Some of Jesus' disciples had reported seeing him walking on a road, and the disciples were afraid of the very real danger that they were going to be next on that most wanted list. The same authorities that arrested Jesus and executed him might come for them next. And they were huddled together in a locked room for good reason. All of them, except Thomas, he wasn't there. We don't know why he wasn't there. Maybe he was the one that was chosen to run out to the grocery store or go pick up the pizza. We don't know why he wasn't in the room with the others when Jesus suddenly appears in the room. Now, that's rather alarming. That's another reason to be afraid. If the dead don't stay dead, what can you trust? And Jesus just appears, even though they had locked and double-locked those doors. He enters the room, and he finds them huddled together, this fearful group. And with one word, he expels that fear and replaces it with faith. Peace, he says to them. Peace, to calm their fear, to ignite their courage. Peace, to replace that fear with compassion. Peace, to prepare them for this astonishing truth. He is risen. He was dead, And now he is alive. And he shows them his hands and his side. Peace, he says, to prepare them for their mission. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Peace. He says it again. Repetition is really necessary for this amazing word and for all that it means to really sink in. We need to hear it over and over again as well. And then Jesus, after he says peace about three or four times, he breathes into them the breath of life, the breath of peace. The spirit that God blew into the dust at creation in order to give life to humankind, Jesus now breathes into them to bring them back from the death of fear into the new life of Jesus. He breathes on them. As God breathed life, breath into those dry bones in ancient Israel, Jesus breathes the Spirit of God onto those disciples in order that they too might become the new life of his body in the world. Just as Jesus forgave them, they too would forgive. These amazing gifts of breath, of peace, of spirit, of mission, of forgiveness, and of his own presence, he breathed into them, and then he was gone. Their excitement is understandable. "We have seen the Lord," when Thomas returns. They breathlessly tell Thomas, and Thomas is breathless in another way. He did not receive the breath of life that Jesus had breathed on those other disciples in his greeting of peace. He didn't hear that greeting of peace from Jesus. And he says he will not believe until he sees for himself. Can you blame him? I mean, what a story. What a story. This is really just too much. Too much to believe. How can he trust this wild story that seems to have overtaken the good sense of the other disciples? It's one thing those crazy women telling the story, but now these men that they traveled together, it's too much. It's too risky to have this belief. And Thomas wants to see for himself. Now, it's easy to point an accusing finger at Thomas and of his spoken doubt. But look at the rest of the disciples. Maybe Thomas's doubt had influenced the disciples, and maybe the reality of the resurrection just takes a lot of repetition to get into the heart. But whatever it is, here they are a week later. And where are they? Huddled in a dark, locked room for fear of others coming, for fear that they would be next. What has changed after they had seen Jesus on the night of the resurrection? A week later, they're still there in that locked upper room behind those locked doors out of fear. I guess we're in good company then when we admit our own fears, when we admit that we just don't know what to do. We're fearful, we're worried. We're not alone today in our fears or in history. When we give in to our fears, the big ones or the little ones, but those fears shake our lives. The world is really not any scarier today than it ever was. And death comes for all of us. It still looms over us, and its power is undiminished. Excuse me. The truth of death, which is our greatest fear, comes for everyone. My grandfather worked in a funeral home. And he said, often his little saying was, nobody gets out of here alive. Worry and fear can't keep us from escaping death. So here we are, a week after the resurrection, and Jesus comes back into the room, to this locked room, appears again, and this time Thomas is with them. They are all there. And Jesus begins repeating the process. Peace be with you. The fearful group hear that word once again. Jesus knows that calming their fear is the first step for their mission training, for their healing, for their life beyond this locked room. So he says to them again, peace. Peace be with you. Then he turns to Thomas. And knowing that Thomas needs to be convinced, he needs more assurance. Thomas wanted to see Jesus for himself. You've heard it said, seeing is believing. Thomas, that's his motto. So in love and understanding, Jesus shows Thomas his wounds and invites Thomas to touch and to see that he is a real person. He's not a ghost. He's not an apparition. And Thomas professes his faith and declares his belief. Scripture doesn't tell us exactly the time difference when Jesus says, Thomas, come and touch my hand. And Thomas's response, my Lord and my God. He knew in the scene. Scripture doesn't tell us if Thomas even actually touched Jesus. And Jesus says, blessed are those who believe who they haven't seen. And this is where most of us gets the story wrong. We see Jesus responding to Thomas by encouraging faith to take the place of doubt. And sometimes we get the idea that faith and doubt are opposites. We see doubt as bad, and we fail to see that it's really fear, not doubt, that's the opposite of faith. We miss the truth that healthy skepticism can be a good thing, even beneficial for deepening our faith. Skepticism opens us to question what is and readies us for a new understanding of what might be. Skepticism allowed Thomas to turn back and to make that bold declaration of faith. We don't get to see the physical Jesus like Thomas did. But it is our fears that prevent us from seeing things, even things that are right in front of us. It's our fear, not our questions, that keep us from belief. The gifts that Jesus gives, the gift of peace and mission, the Spirit's breath, the gift of forgiveness, those gifts are for us as well. Jesus' presence is real for us as well. Today, we gather as the fearful, the lost, the hurting followers of Jesus in a threatening world made more violent with war and terrorism and hate. And this is the world where Jesus is present. Jesus is with us in this world, not apart from us, but with us. Jesus is with us in word and in meal. He gives us these gifts, and he transforms us into the body of Christ for the world. We are the wounded healers who experience Jesus' presence even as we are being transformed by it. Our faith tells us this Easter truth. Life has the last word. Death does not win. Fear does not win. We are freed in Jesus Christ from the power of fear. We are freed to live boldly in a world that is filled with violence and sin, to give ourselves as Jesus gave himself. Every time we go out from worship, we go out as the body of Christ for the world to proclaim this new reality. It is fear, it is faith, not fear, that guides us. Faith casts out fear and embraces our doubts. Faith comes from our encounter with Jesus Christ and opens our eyes to the wonders of what God is up to in the world, beyond the horrific acts of hatred and violence that are all too common. In this upside-down kingdom of God, it is life, eternal life, that gets the last word. It is life, not death. It is faith, not fear. Unlike Thomas, who believes because he sees, we are free to see because we believe. We are free to see because we believe. We are free to see that fear does not control our lives. No longer do we have to give in to the fear-mongering in our world. We are free to choose a different path. We are free to choose the path of love, of faith, of serving, of forgiving, all for the sake of this fearful world. John writes in his letter, "Love casts out fear." So live in that love. Live in that peace. Jesus Christ is alive for us today. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is risen indeed.